$60 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Chinese media reports North Korean leader Kim Jong-un flew to China yesterday for his second meeting with the Chinese President Xi Jinping this year. The two reportedly met to discuss the state of Chinese-North Korean relations as well as other major issues. A spiritual leader remains on Capitol Hill.
Let us pray.
Reverend Patrick Conroy back in the House on Monday, delivering his first prayer since rescinding his resignation as House chaplain last week. Conroy was asked to leave by House Speaker Paul Ryan, but sent a letter to the House Speaker last week saying he's never heard a complaint about his ministry and wouldn't be resigning.
That's USA Radio's John DeMaster. It's primary election day in four states. Voters casting ballots in West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, and North Carolina. The most closely watched race in West Virginia, Republicans choosing a candidate to take on Democratic U.S. Senator Joe Manchin in November's midterm election. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
If you cross the border unlawfully, then we will prosecute you.
The nation's Attorney General Jeff Sessions making it clear he is standing by tougher immigration policies, saying yesterday during a speaking engagement in San Diego,
I have put in place a zero-tolerance policy for illegal entry on our southwest border.
Saying while he doesn't want to separate families, that any parents who try to smuggle children across the border will face prosecution and separation from their kids. He argued that a failure to enforce immigration laws would be an affront to law-abiding Americans. America's small business owners are slightly more optimistic than they were a month ago when it comes to the U.S. economy. The Small Business Optimism Index for April, ticking up just a fraction from the March reading. Small business operators' biggest frustration right now is finding qualified workers. The Labor Department's expected to back that up. It's to release the jobs openings survey for April at 10 a.m. Eastern Time today. And it seems Americans are becoming more comfortable with the idea of owning an electric vehicle. A new survey by AAA finds 20% of Americans think their next car will be electric, and that's a 5% jump from just last year. You can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, it is 10:05, time for Hunterton Chamber Radio weather. Fleming right now, 65 degrees, clear skies, no chance of rain. Today is May 8th, 2018, and Weather Underground says a good deal of sunshine and a high near 75. Winds east at 5 to 10 miles an hour. A clear sky and a low of 47. Winds light and variable. And for tomorrow, except for a few afternoon clouds, mainly sunny, 77. Winds east at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partial cloudiness early with occasional showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, 78. Chance of rain, 50%. Sunshine and clouds mixed and a high of 73 on Friday. Partly cloudy, 80 on Saturday. Mother's Day, mixed clouds and sun with scattered thunderstorms, high of 76, chance of rain 50%. Monday, partly cloudy skies, 73. I've tried this a few times today, and I don't seem to get any temperatures in the area. Don't know what is going on with it at the moment, but we'll figure that out as soon as I get a little opportunity. Maybe I got it fixed. Let's see what's going on. Nope, still not going to work. All right, that's Hunt and Chamber Radio Weather. We'll be right back with Tech Today in just a moment.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, and the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers, whether they've been seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed about making technological decisions or purchasing decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook and message me through there. Good morning at HuntingChamber.com is my email address. Phone number here at the studio, 908-237-0410. If you are watching this or listening to this in a podcast version, you can get to me. Off-site and at my company, off of the show, BluePantherBIZ.com. Welcome to another edition of Tech Today. Good to be with you. We got lots of things to talk about, as usual. And there's never a shortage of tech information and news. The first one I thought was pretty interesting, and that is a response by Warren Buffett about his opinion of cryptocurrency. And once I get the article here, instead of having to do the pop-ups that constantly show up, Warren Buffett had his annual meeting, stockholders meeting, and people go there not only to listen to what he has to say about Berkshire Hathaway, but also Warren's own perspective on investing. He turns out to be one of the richest men in the world, so it makes sense that you would probably want to listen to him in terms of what to do in terms of investment. As it turns out, Warren started from pretty much scratch, and now Berkshire Hathaway is a monster in terms of its company and the businesses that it runs. Warren says that Bitcoin is rat poison, written by Paul LaMonica on the 8th on money.cnn.com. It says, "Tell us how you really feel, Mr. Buffett. The price of Bitcoin took a dive after Warren Buffett renewed his criticism of the cryptocurrency, even comparing it to rat poison. Bitcoin had been closing in on $10,000, but it fell nearly 6% Sunday and was down another 2% Monday on just over $9,300. Buffett, the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, has been a Bitcoin bear for years. He has often compared the cryptocurrency to gold, saying that both assets are strictly speculative and don't produce earnings and dividends like stocks do. Before the Berkshire annual meeting on Saturday, Buffett told CNBC that Bitcoin was probably rat poison squared. During the meeting itself, Buffett joked that, quote, if you had bought gold at the time of Christ and you figured the compound rate of it, it's a couple tenths of a percent. What Buffett was saying about Bitcoin was that you can buy it, but it will never produce anything of value. He also responded to a question from the audience about Bitcoin by saying that and other cryptocurrencies will come to bad endings. Berkshire Vice Chairman and longtime Buffett confidant Charles Munger was even more blunt. Quote, I like cryptocurrencies a lot less than you do, Munger said to Buffett. To me, it's just dementia. It's like somebody else is trading turds and you decide you can't be left out. Munger also referred to Bitcoin as poison. At the shareholder meeting of the Daily Journal, a newspaper published in Los Angeles where Munger serves as chairman, he called it noxious. Strong words. But to be fair to Bitcoin bulls, both Buffett and Munger have been wrong about the cryptocurrency, Buffett in particular. He first called Bitcoin a mirage in 2014, back when it was trading for about $600. So even with the recent pullback, Bitcoin has drastically outperformed the broader market, not to mention Berkshire stock and top Berkshire holdings like Apple. That's why some cryptocurrency experts think that investors should ignore Buffett and Munger's repeated Bitcoin bashing. Quote, what I find monumentally baffling is that two of the world's most successful investors cannot see the intrinsic value of some form of cryptocurrency, Nigel Green, CEO of financial consulting firm DeVere Group, wrote in a report early Monday. Do they honestly believe that there is no place for and no value of digital global currencies in an increasingly digitalized, globalized world, Green added. Well, I don't know if I can answer for Warren Buffett and Mr. Munger, but I will say this. Probably the point of view that Warren takes is that because cryptocurrency is not being monitored by any governmental authority, it has the potential to be dangerous. It has the potential to be manipulated. That doesn't mean that governments don't do that as well. But we've become accustomed to that. Can currencies live on their own without a government? Yes, they can. There has been instances throughout history when currencies have been created that go against the U.S. dollar in the United States. There used to be a currency. I don't think it might still be around up in Boston in that area. So I think what Warren's saying is, what I think one of the concerns would be is that without a government agency involved, whether it be nationalistic or international, there is a danger of manipulation and fraud involved in it. Is that good or bad? I don't know. But it usually leads to greed, and greed leads to demise. And as soon as greed shows up, people will pull out and the cryptocurrency will absolutely shrivel up and die. And that's the danger. So while everybody's hearing all these wild stories about success and growing their money in this market, it's pretty dangerous because it's talking people into doing it because my neighbor is, as Mr. Munger said. Be interesting if Mr. Buffett actually trades currencies. I doubt it. He's a very bread and butter type guy. He buys products that he knows, such as Coca-Cola, Apple, Schmuckers, and stuff like that. Getting involved in the currency game is not something that Warren likes to do, and he's obviously done pretty well the way he's been going right now. Should you not do it? Well, what Warren Buffett is basically saying is that in the end of the day, when you have a Bitcoin, and tomorrow when you have that same Bitcoin, yes, it might have been valued by other people to be better, but there is nothing underlying in the value of that. That coin or that digital value has been created once, and now all it is a coveted value by the masses. Whereas a company, when you buy it, has assets, has a revenue stream, and has cash flow. And that is predictable for the most part. And so you still get the value of people buying the stock because they are falling in love with the company. But in the end, that stock still represents a piece of a livable, viable thing that has been created and has components to it that are of value. And that's the difference, really. All right, so Bitcoin is created digitally. It's managed by computers. It's using the blockchain programming algorithms. And I've talked about this a couple of times now. Blockchain requires the computers to be able to follow the transaction to transaction to transaction to know exactly what the value of that particular Bitcoin is. So imagine you take a dollar bill and you go to buy a newspaper, and you do that at a coffee shop. That dollar bill now has changed hands. Bitcoin and blockchain would register that transaction and know that the dollar moved from me to somebody else. When that newspaper company corner store goes to the bank, they hand it off to the bank. Now we know that the bank has it. The blockchain keeps track of that. Eventually, somebody comes and gets a withdrawal. The blockchain then captures the fact that that dollar has moved from the bank to that person's money envelope. That person now takes it and gives it to a car wash. Now the car wash has it. And as that dollar continues to move with its serial number, the blockchain is going to understand exactly where it was on every given cent situation. Can you imagine the amount of data and the amount of computer programming necessary to do that for every dollar, every quarter, every penny, every $5 bill, every 20, every 100? That's the challenge. Not saying it can't be done, because I've seen when everybody's told me the computer power could not be done in the past, and now we're looking at things that never we even dreamed of 20 years later. So it can be done. The question is it going to be necessary oversight? Is there going to be an authority that's going to ensure that it's being done properly and that something's not being missed? That's the key. We're going to take our first break here on Tech Today. We'll be right back with more in just a minute on WHCR-DB. Thank you.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Tech Today. We're on HunterdonChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. Call letters WHCR-DB, which stands for Digital Broadcasting. In Hunterdon Chamber Radio, we've embarked on streaming, and it turned out to be a great idea. Lauren Feliciano, who does La Salud Mental in Porta, started it, and the numbers did not lie. It showed us quickly that it was a great idea, and that we needed to take advantage of it. Facebook Live has been around for a little while. It's on all different platforms. You have YouTube does it. You have Twitter has Periscope. There's all different ways that you can stream now. And they're all viable. And what I've seen in my experience in doing this already is that we are a visual society. We're not interested in reading as much as we are interested in seeing, and video is intriguing. More video ads, more video commercials, more video news, more video articles get more views than the written word the written word, basically. And in case of our case, then the spoken word. We do better with the video free feeds than we do with the audio podcasts. And so live streaming is here to stay. I find it interesting because I feel it actually slows down our world, and that might actually be the reason subconsciously. You have to watch things in real time rather than skimming through things to just glean the information from reading. TechCrunch.com has an article here that basically says that Facebook Live gets a new updates to simplify streaming and set up for creators. That is one of the challenges that we have here at Hunter Chamber Radio, in that in order to get the camera angles involved and to have the audio from the actual radio programs to be the background audio or the actual audio of the streaming broadcast, we have to do a little extra setup, and it's a bit of a challenge for some of our hosts who are not as comfortable with computers. And yet, so I've continued as the general manager here at Hunter Chamber Radio to watch constantly for the updates that change on there to make it easier every time. It's always an iterative process. I do this with the businesses that I consult for as well, always looking for that new update that can make things easier. Things that we had to configure in a way that was the only way to do it at the time, and we're looking for a better way to do it. And every time I come across something, it's not unheard of for me to call up one of my clients and say, hey, I got a new idea. I'm going to come by and implement it and like for about 15 minutes, and they're good. So Facebook is making some updates to its live video platform, which should streamline the process of getting a stream set up and in front of the widest possible audience. The company notes in a blog post that the daily average live streams from verified pages is up 1.5 times this year over the past year. In addition to the updates to Live API, Facebook has also announced that they are testing a rewind feature for live video, sometimes that has previously been unavailable. Facebook is going to begin allowing live videos to be cross-post to multiple pages at the same time. That means if an organization is publishing, has multiple pages where it is single Facebook Live video could be featured, they'll be able to send it to all of them, five as an original post, without having to reshare one sent by the main account manually. The cross-posting feature will allow publishers to more easily reach broader audiences without going through a bunch of unnecessary steps. It's something publishers are already able to do with pre-recorded videos, so porting the feature over to Facebook Live makes a good deal of sense. Another feature that should make things easier for creators and publishers on platforms is what's called a persistent stream key. These keys are part of the streaming setup process and have previously been tied to each new streaming session. Now, that has been made really frustrating for users. Been coordinating this with the Facebook Live stream has a problem that they have to start a new session, a process which, as in the past, automatically created a new stream key, which has then had to be copied and sent over to production teams. With this new persistent option, these production teams will know the stream key tied to an account in advance and won't have to worry about coordinating the step in the process should anything go awry. One particular exciting yet exceedingly basic feature that has been so missed in Facebook Live has been the ability to rewind live footage. Clear highlights of the medium is the ability to watch something as it unfolds in real time, consumers being able to immediately look back at things that might have surprised them, is a key functionality. It's been something YouTube live viewers have been able to do for a while that has always been absent from Facebook. Facebook Rewind is being tested currently, and the company hopes to roll it out for all users soon. Persistent stream keys and cross-posting functionality are rolling out today. So there you go. The opportunity to show your streams, and I can assure you that Hunter Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, will be looking at those updates and trying to implement some of that those items as well. So exciting news that Facebook Live continues to evolve, and as I said, it's obvious that video is the new medium to get people engaged. The statistics of Facebook demonstrate that 1.5 times more videos are being used now than they were last year. And anybody who thinks that Facebook is dead, well, you've been sadly mistaken. Even after the breach that was talked about, there are 2.5 billion monthly users on Facebook. And if you took YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Snapchat, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and added them all together, you would not come near 2.5 billion, not even close. You might come close to 10%. You might. So Facebook is the place to do this. At least if you have one choice, one option. After that, we could debate where the next place is. But Facebook clearly has not lost its luster. It is the place where everybody is and is tied together at some point. Is it everybody? No. Is it, are you getting your target audience? Maybe, maybe not. There might be people that basically said, I'm not going on Facebook anymore, and you're losing them, and you might have to get them somewhere else. But in critical mass, and again, efficiency of time, Facebook is the hands-down winner. And if you're going to advertise, Facebook Live and video is the way to do it. We're at the news break. You're listening to Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamber.com, and we'll be right back after this next five-minute news.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's last day on the job, as the Democrat will resign at the end of today after four women make sexual, emotional, and physical abuse allegations against the law enforcement official. Schneiderman, having championed women who were part of the Me Too movement, investigating sexual assault allegations against disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein. Legal expert Lisa Green notes,
I think it's the seeming hypocrisy that is what drove some of these women to finally come forward cannot have been an easy decision for them.
Green was speaking on MSNBC. Schneiderman strongly denying the allegations that were made in an article published yesterday in the New Yorker magazine. President Trump scheduled to announce at 2 p.m. Eastern time whether he's pulling the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear agreement, recertifying it, or looking for something in between. And this is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery, and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered, too. So why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Chinese media reports North Korean leader Kim Jong-un flew to China yesterday for his second meeting with the Chinese President Xi Jinping this year. The two reportedly met to discuss the state of Chinese-North Korean relations as well as other major issues. A spiritual leader remains on Capitol Hill.
Let us pray.
Reverend Patrick Conroy back in the House on Monday, delivering his first prayer since rescinding his resignation as House chaplain last week. Conroy was asked to leave by House Speaker Paul Ryan, but sent a letter to the House Speaker last week saying he's never heard a complaint about his ministry and wouldn't be resigning.
That's USA Radio's John DeMaster. It's primary election day in four states. Voters casting ballots in West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, and North Carolina. The most closely watched race in West Virginia, Republicans choosing a candidate to take on Democratic U.S. Senator Joe Manchin in November's midterm election. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
If you cross the border unlawfully, then we will prosecute you.
The nation's Attorney General Jeff Sessions making it clear he is standing by tougher immigration policies, saying yesterday during a speaking engagement in San Diego,
I have put in place a zero-tolerance policy for illegal entry on our southwest border.
Saying while he doesn't want to separate families, that any parents who try to smuggle children across the border will face prosecution and separation from their kids. He argued that a failure to enforce immigration laws would be an affront to law-abiding Americans. America's small business owners are slightly more optimistic than they were a month ago when it comes to the U.S. economy. The Small Business Optimism Index for April ticking up just a fraction from the March reading. Small business operators' biggest frustration right now is finding qualified workers. The Labor Department's expected to back that up. It's to release the jobs openings survey for April at 10 a.m. Eastern Time today. And it seems Americans are becoming more comfortable with the idea of owning an electric vehicle. A new survey by AAA finds 20% of Americans think their next car will be electric, and that's a 5% jump from just last year. You can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Welcome back to Tech Today. We're on HuntingtonMaria.com, WHCR-DB. Since the world of shared riding, Uber has come along, I got to admit, I had a lot of reservations about it initially. I took my first ride. It was a very positive experience. I wouldn't say it was a earth-shaking, but it certainly exceeded my expectations. And since that time, I've used ride-sharing significantly over the last couple of years. In fact, I've used it more than taxi cabs in certain cases. I love the fact that I can see when the car is coming. I know who the car is. It's a license plate. It tells me the name plate. And usually the cars are extremely clean. The drivers are very courteous. They're having a conversation, and they're getting you where they want to go. And usually when there's a little bit of a glitch, like the address isn't right or the address is leading you to a place that's not necessarily the right entrance, they help you get to where you need to go. And it's been very good. And it's also, unfortunately for the cab companies, it's been more economical. It's driven down the prices. And, oh, by the way, I don't need to have cash. I don't need to pay in cash. So I have a record of all my receipts as to where I went and how I went and all that. And that's important. Uber has had its issues from time to time. And they're struggling and with internally and externally, but they're doing pretty well. Another one that's come up is Lyft. They're around as well, LYFT. They're doing well as well. I've used both of them. And most of the drivers, Lyft and Uber, happen to be the same people from time to time. So I also pit Lyft and Uber against each other. I look at the same ride to both in both companies, and turns out that I might be able to get a dollar here off from that one or this one. In fact, I just got a coupon through Lyft that my next 10 rides are 50% off, up to $5 each ride. So very important. Well, why do I bring that all up? Well, I came across an article this morning that says that Uber unveiled the flying taxi. It wants to rule the skies, not just the not just the roadways. Now, you might shake your finger and say it's not happening, but I've been saying this for a while now. airplane companies. You've been messing with us for a very long time. And it's only a matter of time before somebody's going to figure out a way to put you in your place. So if Uber gets their hands on this type of innovation, you airline companies are going to have to rethink your model. And if you think life has been tough prior to this, wait until Uber gets their hands on you. Very interesting to see this, and I'm wondering what the fallout is going to be. This is on Wired.com. The article is, Uber unveils the flying taxi. It wants to rule the skies. Jack Stewart is the author. On the 8th. Written at 9:49 a.m. this morning. If you trust the folks with their eyes tilted upward and their hands waving in the air, flying taxis could be a traffic panacea. Leveraging the third dimension to make room for everyone, Uber is among the most fervent believers, and today the company revealed the vehicle it hopes will realize this congestion killer. The aspirationally, if not inspirationally, named Common Reference Model. The concept is all electric and seats four people plus a pilot in single file in a slim cylindrical body with large windows. The design, reminiscent of a catamaran, features streamlined nacelles suspended high on each side. On slender supports, these are the battery pods. On top of each, and top two smaller, even further beyond outboard pods, sit stacked rotors, which provide the electric vertical lift for takeoff and landing. At the very back, where the tail would be on a conventional plane, a propeller faces forwards, ready to power horizontal flight. There's just one door on one side to simplify ground operation. No need for extra steps or worrying about people exiting on the wrong side into an active landing pad. The concept is supposed to cruise at about 150 to 200 miles per hour, up to 2,000 feet above the ground. A single charge will be good enough for 60 miles of range, and Uber expects the thing to need just 5 minutes to stop to top the batteries between flights. Initially, they'll have human pilot, but eventually they would be autonomous. The thing is, Uber has no intention of building this thing, at least not on any sort of scale. Like it with cars, Uber wants to be the middleman, connecting pilots and passengers. It hopes to launch a commercial service, Uber Air, with demonstration flights starting in 2020. In Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and Los Angeles. The problem is that while cars exist, flying cars don't. That's why it's hosting the Uber Elevate Summit at LA this week, where 700 players from industry, government, and academia can come together and talk about making this whole flying taxi thing real. But the network Uber wants to build only really works if it can support vehicles from a variety of manufacturers. That's why it made the Common Reference Model. This is the kind of vehicle Uber would like to see, with the sorts of specs and practical features that would allow different aircraft to run the same routes and share infrastructure. These concepts are neutral ground that Uber has put together, so we can share insights with all of our partners, said Rob McDonald, Uber's head of vehicle engineering. The team that designed the concept is led by Mark Moore, Uber's Director of Aviation Engineering, who spent 30 years at NASA pioneering electric propulsion machines. His work there culminated in the X-57, a small plane with 12 electric propellers dotting the length of the wings. The X-Plane program, which develops one-off demonstration vehicles, is a good model for the Uber's concept. The aircraft proved that's possible. Supersonic flight, radical wing design, fly-by-wire, and then invite the rest of the industry to make it widespread. As nonsensical as it may seem, flying cars are on the brink of takeoff. Looking at the combination of new lightweight materials, batteries that can store more energy and cost less, and distribute electric propulsion, experts say an electric vehicle that can carry several people around a city is entirely reasonable. Airbus is busy testing its Vahana multicopter. Workhorses, Shorefly, personal electric flying machine, just took off for the first time. To shore up its aerospace know-how, Uber is working with respected companies like helicopter manufacturer Bell, plane builder Embraer, and Aurora Flight Sciences, part of Boeing, to design a new class of flight vehicles it could eventually integrate into a network. Our partners are very capable of designing, certifying, and building conventional aircraft, so that we're going to focusing on what really different, said Moore. In particular, there's electric propulsion, allowing for multiple short hot hop trips and fast turnaround time and minimizing noise. No existing planes and helicopters can boast full range of skills. Each company is working on that now, but Uber hopes to unify their efforts with its concept. So it gets the vehicle it needs. Anything too wildly different would need different landing or charging infrastructure, or perhaps just make it incompatible with the network. To prove it's serious, Uber made this concept, the third of its kind, simpler and more realistic. Unlike its initial vision, this one doesn't have complicated rotating narthals such as tilt-mount rotor, which swivels in flight in transition with vertical lift to forward movement. That lets you get to increased performance, but at the price of complex joint that can have maintenance, says Moore. Instead, it is more reliable series of rotors that handle vertical flight and that one on the tail that's going to deal with horizontal. Having two propellers stacked on top of each other, spinning in the same direction, provides redundancy in case one fails. Uber says initial tests also show that this concept is quieter than previous designs, which will be important flying over densely inhabited areas. And they're all mounted safely above the head height of passengers climbing in and out. Uber's timeline calls for commercial flights in just 5 years. Making that happen depends on getting everybody on the same page and into the air together. Telling you, airlines, watch out. Now, that one's going to only go, it said, 60 miles. So, that's going to be interesting. It's not going to handle the larger capacity or larger distances. But, you know, getting from one city to another looks viable. And then you wonder whether you could do some hopping. That would be interesting as well. Would somebody theoretically hop from city to city? Go from Huntington County to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to, oh, I don't know, Dover, Delaware. Go from Dover, Delaware down to Washington, D.C., and then back again? It's possible. Or does the plane just go down for 5 minutes, charge up, and do the next flight again? That's another option. What about the cost? Well, might be still. It's got to be competitive with the airlines, but then again, if it is competitive, the airlines have to be competitive with it, and that's the real key. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's 10:48. We're going to take our final break. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on HuntChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamber.com, WHCRDB. In the news, there's been a debate going on between captains of industry and artificial intelligence. There's been some that are very concerned about artificial intelligence, fearing that it eventually... artificial intelligence will learn so much that it will, on its own, in a kind of a Space Odyssey 2001 scenario, make human beings obsolete. And that's freaking some people out. There are other ones that say that artificial intelligence is really important because we just don't have enough people to do all the things that we need to do to help ourselves. There's an opinion here by on channel.com written by Gary Shapiro of Fox News. He says, who's afraid of artificial intelligence? It could solve many of our nation's most difficult issues. So everyone is talking about artificial intelligence, and with good reason. AI now does simple tasks like playing games, but it also helps pilots fly planes, which is a big reason why we haven't seen a growth in the number of commercial airplane tragedies, despite an increasing number of flights. As AI does more complex tasks, it will transform economies, industries, and our everyday lives. It will also raise questions about the impact on our economy and our jobs. So how can the U.S. retain its position as the global leader in AI while also proactively addressing these new challenges? First, let's consider how AI will improve our lives. When looking at healthcare, it is evident that our current aging population may become a future health crisis. According to the Census Bureau, 20% of Americans will be older than 65 by 2030. Our caregiving system is already stressed, and cutbacks on immigration will make it worse. AI can mitigate part of this stress by enabling seniors, our family, our parents, to continue to live healthy and active lives. Smart home technology powered by AI can monitor for falls and other accidents and provide remedies, reminders for daily tasks for people struggling with memory loss. AI can also play a huge role in confronting one of the most pressing safety issues of our time, cybersecurity. As the many data breaches over the past year have shown, our personal information is increasingly vulnerable to bad actors. But AI has the potential to help reduce fraud and cybercrime. Because AI can quickly learn fraudulent patterns and identify when a regular pattern is broken, it can uncover threats to an organization's cybersecurity system. Major companies such as PayPal and Visa report a low or reduced fraud rate due to AI in their security systems. In fact, according to Harvard Business Review, Companies around the globe use artificial intelligence for security purposes far more than they are for any other objectives. Many of us already use some form of AI in our homes or in our phones. Digital assistants such as Amazon's Alexa and Google Assistant provide helpful information, operate appliances, and assist in household tasks. But according to leading experts in AI, we'll soon see these devices used on much bigger scope and in far more environments, from retail stores to factories to self-driving vehicles. It's a shift that has generated some worry. AI's potential to transform jobs across industries concerns those fearful about the future of work. In fact, Consumer Technology Association, CTA, research found that of the three main barriers to development and implementation of AI, lack of public trust was one. CTA just created a 21st Century Workforce Council, a forum for industry to address the skills gap and ensure that tech sector has the necessary pipeline of workers for the millions of jobs we are creating. The industry already faces a shortage of data analysts, programmers, robotics experts, and new jobs will be created to build and maintain self-driving cars. AI, like all technology, can act only in capable and ethical as we train it to be. If we hold ourselves accountable to standards of fairness and excellence, that will play out in the AI solutions we develop. And while there's no denying that AI will disrupt industries, the extent to which it will eliminate jobs has been somewhat exaggerated. In the media, like every major innovation, it will affect jobs, but it will replace those jobs by creating new demands for skilled workers. The economic potential of AI is enormous. According to PwC, AI is projected to add over $15 trillion to the world economy by 2030. None of us can predict how many jobs AI will create as new interfaces and industries emerge. The U.S. is not the only nation competing in this space. China has a plan to become the world's leader in AI by 2030 and will become a $2 billion research park in Beijing to help accomplish that. If we want to maintain our global lead in innovation, we need to act and act soon. France and Britain recently announced their own strategies on AI. So that's what's going on, folks. A lot of stuff happening in our direction. AI, as Russell Price actually mentioned this when he came to talk at a meeting for the Chamber of Commerce on TD Ameritrade, that we don't have enough folks to do our work. Therefore, we need AI to be able to fill in that gap so those people can move on to other things. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll see you again next Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Everyone knows that it's not over.
That's Hawaii's governor speaking as officials on the Big Island say they're preparing to evacuate more people as the Kilauea volcano continues to erupt and fissures continue to spread, sending toxic fumes through residential areas. About 1,700 people have already left their homes. One man who lives just yards from the flowing lava says he's not going anywhere.
I'll stay here until I can't stay anymore.
That is heard on CBS News. President Trump's to announce at 2 o'clock Eastern whether he's withdrawing the United States from the Iran nuclear deal, an agreement that he's called insane and ridiculous ever since he was running for the White House. He says it doesn't fully curb Iran's ability to enrich uranium and says many of its nuclear prohibitions expire after 15 years. This is USA Radio News.
For years, I watched people walk into hotels carrying a pillow, and I used to wonder why. But that was before I got a MyPillow. I understand now because I can't sleep well at all without using MyPillow, because it stays cool all night. Doesn't wake up in the middle of the night to flip it over. Keeps its shape. You don't have to go to the middle of the night, fluff the pillow. 60-day money-back guarantee. You don't like it, just send it back. And a 10-year warranty. What pillow have you got that's got a 10-year warranty? What pillow have you got that you can just throw into the washer, dryer? It comes out like new. Usually you